Now, these are strange days for all of us. It feels like the world around us is shutting down, and that has a tendency to make us want to shut down as well. But as the church, this is not a time for us to become complacent, nor is it a time for us to shrink back and live in fear. It's precisely in times like this when the church has its greatest opportunity to be a light to the world around us. So I want to encourage all of us to really step up during this time, to remain faithful as a church family, to look for opportunities to bless others in ways that we may have never thought of before, and also to use this time to grow in our own relationship with God. Often when we have been put in a situation where our routine completely changes and we have time to think about things in ways that we just didn't have time to before, this is a great opportunity for God to come into those quiet places that you never had in the past. Use them. Don't let them slip by. So I just want to encourage all of us to stay faithful and to continue pursuing God and loving others during this time. Now listen, there's something important I want to say to you with everything that's being shown on the news. There is a big tendency for us to let fear set in. I mean, how could there not be? They're showing live death counts on the news and on social media. It's crazy. But remember what Jesus said in John 14:27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." He said, "I do not give to you like the world gives." He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." So I'm praying that we will not give in to a spirit of fear, but that we'll truly maintain the sound mind that the Bible says we've been given through the Holy Spirit. None of us would choose to be in this situation right now, but this could be one of the greatest learning experiences the modern day church in America has ever had. Our greatest lessons come in the form of hardship and pain. I'm a firm believer that we should never waste our pain. We should never waste our trials, because that's when God has our attention and that's when God can teach us the most. And compared to the church in many other parts of the world today, we in the American church have had it very easy. We've enjoyed the freedom to be able to meet whenever we want to, however we want to. And you remember how often I've said on Sunday mornings when we're together, let's be thankful for the freedom we have to meet like this, because it could be taken away one day. And now we've experienced how quickly things can change to the point where our freedom to meet together has been taken away by something so unexpected. The world can change very quickly. But I hope that we as the church will not miss this opportunity to learn some important lessons from this experience, and that we'll emerge from this stronger and wiser and better equipped and more committed than ever before to carry out the mission of Christ in the days ahead. I believe with all the bad going on that there's a lot of good potential here, tremendous potential for us to grow, to mature, to come out the other side of this better than we've ever been before as the church and as individual believers. So I want to ask you to open your Bible to two places this morning. We take a few minutes to look into God's word. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 46 and also to Habakkuk chapter 3. It's not a book we hear about that much, but Habakkuk chapter 3. And maybe I should pause for about a half an hour and give everybody time to find that, or maybe you'll find it by the time I actually get there. So Isaiah 46 and Habakkuk chapter 3. There's a great lesson that the church needs to learn during this time. It's something that we may never think about, and so I want us to look into God's word for a few minutes to find out what that lesson is. So first, let's look at Isaiah chapter 46. Now, Isaiah is writing to God's people, and their lives are in turmoil. Their city's been destroyed. They no longer have the temple to worship in. Everything has been turned upside down in their world. So God is reminding them of some vital foundational truths that we just might need to hear ourselves today. Isaiah 46:1 says, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. These things you carry are burdensome, a load for the weary beast. They stoop and bow down together, unable to deliver the burden, but they themselves go off into captivity. Now, what's happened is God's own people, the people he dearly loved, have turned away from him and have instead put their trust in idols. They were now counting on those idols to answer their prayers, to meet their needs, to rescue them from trouble. And so God is saying to them, hey, those idols you're trusting in, they're not able to rescue you. They're not able to save you or deliver you from this trouble that you're facing. And those people were learning a hard but important lesson. All the false gods that they were depending on for help, they all failed to provide any help whatsoever. So we might be sitting here in 2020 and saying, well, we don't have any idols of wood or stone that we're depending on. But what do we so often put our trust in to meet our needs, to give us a sense of security in the midst of hard times? How about good health? How about a secure job, a stable economy, the freedom to come and go as we please? And people all over the world right now are quickly discovering that none of those things they were trusting in are able to give them a sense of peace and security that they desperately long for. And the people in Isaiah's time are discovering exactly the same thing. They're learning that their idols are unable to care for them, to watch over them, to protect them from danger, or to keep their hearts at rest in a time of trouble. So this is bad news for them. But in sharp contrast to that, God comes in Isaiah and he reminds his people how he has cared for them, how he has watched over them without ever once failing them. Look at verse 3 of Isaiah 46. God says, "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried from the womb. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will deliver you." This is incredible. God says, I've watched over you and cared for you from before you were born. And I'm the one who has carried you since then and sustained you all along the way. And even right up to the very end, when you're old and gray, I'll still be the one right there with you. Listen, here's an important truth. The things of this world will eventually let us down, but God will never leave us and he will never fail us. I don't know of anything in this world that can provide complete, unbroken, guaranteed security and peace of mind and fulfillment. Do you? Just recently, I was reading through some material, the details of something that I had been considering, and everything about it was absolutely perfect. The sales pitch on the front couldn't have been better, until I turned the page over and started reading that fine print on the back. I had to actually get out my magnifying glass to be able to see it, no joke, because they printed in light gray ink and they don't want you to read it. But when I began reading all that fine print on the back, that's when I saw all the exclusions and exceptions and all the things that could happen that would make this offer invalid. It looked so good at first, but in the end, it was totally disappointing. I wonder, is there anything in the world that you've been relying on to provide your security and your peace of mind? Folks, in a world of empty promises and instability and uncertainty, when we have nowhere else to turn, nothing else to lean on and depend on, God reminds us that He is our only source of certainty and security and hope, and He will always remain constant even if the world around us falls apart. See, here's something really important to always keep in mind. Our relationship with God is not threatened by the events of this world. God has promised that He will never leave you or forsake you. Why would anyone choose to turn their back on a promise like that and instead choose to put their trust in the things of this world? Well, I'll tell you why we ourselves sometimes do that very thing. It's because when trouble strikes, when chaos erupts, when things around us are falling apart, we begin to focus on the problems rather than on the provider. And as soon as we take our eyes and mind off of Him and focus on all the trouble around us, we'll go from being at peace to being filled with worry and fear. And listen, this is important. Whether we're at peace or whether we are filled with fear is our choice. It's completely understandable to be filled with fear when things fall apart, because fear is a natural human response to trouble, but fear does not have to define us. There's something else we can choose to do. And with that in mind, let me show you one more example of this. Turn over to Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Let me read part of this and then stop in the middle and explain to you what's happening. Habakkuk 3:17 says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flocks should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls." Now, pause right there for a minute. What Habakkuk is describing here is a total collapse of life as they knew it. Their production, their livelihood, their income, their source of food, their economy is all wiped out. And the picture that Habakkuk paints here is very similar to what a lot of people are seeing and experiencing right now in our day and age. The very things that just a few weeks ago represented security and economic stability and livelihood and income and hope, those things have vanished in the blink of an eye. And that's what Habakkuk is facing. And it's how he responds to this that makes a difference. How he responds. Someone once said, life is 20% what happens to you and 80% how you respond to it. Well, those aren't exact numbers, of course, but it's just it's an illustration to convey a principle that I believe is absolutely true. Bad things are going to happen to all of us, and we should not be surprised or angry or upset with God when they do. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. It's funny, that's a promise no one ever memorizes, but it's true just the same. We are going to have problems in this world. Some of them will crush us and bring us to our knees for a time, but it's how we respond to those problems that matters. There's an old saying that two people can go through the same trial. One will come out bitter and one will come out better. It's all in how we respond to the problems around us. So what can we learn by seeing how Habakkuk responds to those very dark, bleak times that he and his nation are facing? Look at verse 18. He's now described all these problems taking place. The nation is falling apart. He says in verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places." Now, here's a final thought that I want to give to you. We have not been given permission to stop praising God when hard times come. Habakkuk fully recognized the seriousness of the trouble all around him. And he knew he had every reason to fear. But then he remembered that it was God who was his salvation. And it all hinges on that word yet. I want you to highlight or underline or circle that word yet in verse 18. That's the key right there. Listen, God is not asking us to pretend like the trouble around us isn't happening. God never tells us that we have to be in denial about how much it hurts. In fact, if you go back to Habakkuk chapter 1 and read the first four verses, you'll see that Habakkuk was greatly disturbed about this. His soul was in turmoil. And he cries out in verse 1, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." Do you hear the cry of Habakkuk's heart? He's questioning everything, just like many people are doing right now in our world. He's looking around at all the problems, and he soon becomes overwhelmed with fear and dread. But by the end of this little book, in chapter 3, he gets the right perspective. He's not pretending the problems aren't there. He clearly says in chapter 3, "Our entire livelihood is collapsing all around us," but he says, yet, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to take joy in the God of my salvation. And that's exactly what I want to call all of LifePoint Church to do. All across the upstate, wherever you are, let's take this time to say, yes, these problems are happening right now. They're very real, and we need to take them seriously. But we are not going to focus on them. Instead, we're going to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Well, I close with this illustration. George Matheson was born in 1842, and as a young man, he began to lose his eyesight until he became completely blind. Well, he was already engaged to be married at that time, and if it wasn't bad enough to be plunged into a world of darkness, his fiancée decided that she didn't want to be married to a man who couldn't see, so she broke off the engagement. His heart was shattered. He closed himself off in his room, and tears flowed down his cheeks until he finally turned his focus back on the Lord. And that's when he wrote the words that would one day become one of the great hymns of all time. "Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." In getting his eyes off of a love that had been broken, he turned his eyes to the love that can never be broken. LifePoint Church, as you look around the world today, you'll see plenty of things that might give legitimate cause to worry, to panic, to be afraid. But instead of letting your mind focus on those things, I want to encourage you instead to think on the God of your salvation, the one who has cared for you from before you were born, and the one who will care for you right up to the very end. Let's take a moment and pray together. Father, thank you for your word that speaks truth to us and comforts us in our worst moments. I pray, Father, for our church family, that you would fill them with a spirit of rest and peace that can only be found in you. I pray for the parents. I pray for their children and their extended families, Father, that you would keep them all safe in your care. And most of all, keep our eyes upon you, not on the things that are going on around us. God, I pray that this would be a learning opportunity for us as the church, that we would take these lessons, and we would grow by them. We would mature in our faith so that when we come out the other side of this, we'll be more prepared than ever to live for you, to be the church, and to fulfill the mission that you've called us to. Thank you for your unending, unfailing love for us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.